You know what? I had 5 different ideas for a song, and sometimes Pod Dad has too many ideas and then can't draw one out, and they're just fighting in the pen, and he comes here to say, welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. Oh, no. I'm the AEW Halliv...
Sorry. I shouldn't laugh, but yeah.
I'm the AEW Hallivation Hal Lublin. And I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Bone Hugs and Harmony, Danielle Radford.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that one. That's a good one. Claps all around.
It's the 11th of the month.
And it's time to get hugs.
Get hugs. And Kelky Two Books, Lindsay Kelk.
Hello. Apologies to everyone. I'm currently applying eyeshadow because life is a thing. But I wanted everyone to know this is a full coverage Tights and Fights crossover. It's just that no one can see it. But you'll know in your heart that that's what this is.
You get it. You get it. We said we did that name last week, and now we definitely did it twice this week.
We're doing it forever. Well, it's two books, Kelky Two Books. So it's Kelky Two Names, 2 weeks. It all makes sense to me. I'm just saying, like, I have an anxiety disorder. I like that. Like, let's keep things. If it says two, we're doing it twice, Julian. Like, that works for me.
Now that we've established all of this, let's welcome our special guest, the performer with variety and notoriety, Matt Ricardo. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Thank you for coming back on the show. I wasn't here the first time you were on. We missed each other.
This is true.
Ships in the night. But here we're Twitter friends, and now it's blossoming into a quasi-in-person relationship.
He says as close as friendship gets these days is to a screen.
I'm kissing my webcam right now.
Okay, that's weird. It got weird really early.
Hi, welcome to Tights and Fights.
Welcome to the Hal experience.
I'm not saying bad weird.
Yeah.
We will make it weird. If we will do anything else, we will absolutely make it weird. That's how good that we bring to you.
That's right.
So you're welcome, wrestling.
Yeah. Now, Matt, you're someone whose entire career is based on entertaining crowds. Just like a wrestler, what has it been like for you the last year with this lockdown, and what's the status right now where you are?
Just like a wrestler, I have a bad back, travel too much, and wear spandex. No, I don't wear spandex. Or do I? What's it been like? It's been awful. It's been just awful. Just a complete hellscape. The last gig I did before, you know, all of this happened was literally as the kind of headline cabaret act for a convention of private school head teachers. So every single table was from a different country. And I literally looked out and said, well, you know, it's an honor to be the last thing you see before you cough yourselves to death, because they should not have been there. It should not have happened. It was stupid. And then I got home, and then the next week, an entire year's worth of international touring got cancelled. I've been sitting at home doing crap on YouTube ever since.
Delightful crap. Don't diminish the crap. It's great crap.
Thank you very much.
No worries. Always.
Are things starting to open up? Are live performances happening anytime soon? I never know where we are, even different parts of the United States, let alone across the pond.
It's weird. So the day after tomorrow, I'm going to Australia. Which just seems insane and wrong. Because we're not over this. We're not past it. It's still happening, right? But you know how it is in this business. Someone says, do you want to go and, you know, risk your life by flying literally as far as you could possibly fly? You'll get some money. Okay, then.
Rude not to.
Rude not to. Especially if you have a mortgage to pay. So, you know, things are starting to open up in my little corner of the world. Although there is talk of a third wave happening. So I'm assuming I'm going to go to Australia. Then they're going to lock everything down and I'll be trapped in Australia for the rest of my life.
There's upsides and downsides to that. Yeah. Could you potentially get a role on Neighbours?
I think so.
There you go. You know, you've got to look for a silver lining. There we go.
That seems like a fair price to pay for always having to also check your shoes for giant venomous spiders that will build a home in there.
I hate Australia for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I went there. I was working on a cruise ship. I got off the cruise ship. I was on land for literally a minute and a spider jumped on my head.
No.
And later,
thank you.
And then later I Googled the spider because it had a particularly, you know, vivid design. Yeah, it could have paralyzed me.
Oh my
God. That was a nice welcome. That was a lovely welcome from the thoughtful Australian spider. Just wanted you to feel really at home and know where you were.
Man, the one time I went to Sydney, I stayed like in the middle of the city in like the Happiness Hotel on like the fifth or sixth floor. And I still was convinced that there was going to be a giant tarantula dressed as a bellhop just watching me and waiting for its chance to strike. That for sure was going to happen. The whole place is trying to kill you, but it's also beautiful and a great place to visit.
And now I have my Halloween costume.
A giant spider bellhop.
Can I get your bags for you? You know,
I'm
when they hold
out, I'm
going to
make you that costume myself. It would be amazing.
The good tip, everybody out there, if you're afraid this is going to happen to you, is when they hold out three hands for a tip. That's when you know that it's actually a spider. They forget. Something else that survived the past year has been wrestling, which has happened in some weird form. Are you able to watch more of it now?
I mean, I'm able to.
Are you, though?
No.
What are you watching?
I watch NXT. NXT is the only thing I watch with any kind of regularity. Mm-hmm. Because it's good and it's not awful. Those two things. The main roster shows, I can't. There's so much and it's not very good. I'm past halfway through my life now. I'm 52, so I'm thinking, how much more of my life do I need to spend watching 12 people come out and do a promo one after the other? I could be doing literally anything else. So I've been doing literally anything else. I don't watch AEW. I'm sorry, AEW. What's up, Colt Cabana? The occasional main roster pay-per-view, you know, but yeah, NXT. I watched, because I knew I'd be doing this, while I was exercising this morning, I watched the highlights, if you can call them that, of this week's Raw. Mm-hmm. And regretted no choices. You know,
what a week to pop back in. What a week to just see what was going on.
Yeah, all right. Well, then, since you brought up Raw, there was a segment that has been splitting the internet entirely in half, which is Shayna Baszler and Alexa Bliss. And they're, what is it, Annabelle? Is that the one with the haunted puppet
or
Lily. Whatever?
It's Lily, but it's basically
I know Lily is the name of the doll. I'm talking about the movies. Like, they're basically doing...
Oh, I don't watch those films, but yes,
it's,
right?
Yeah, whatever it is. Child's Play, The Ring, / Annabelle, / Insidious, whatever you want to call it. Saw
it's
12.
It's got human teeth, Hal. It's genuinely creepy.
I don't...
Whose teeth are those? Does Vince keep a box of teeth? When wrestlers lose teeth, do you have to give them to Vince for use in potential future gimmicks?
Yes.
Well, I hope you put them under your pillow, and the Vince fairy comes. And
but instead of leaving money, he just slaps you. Slaps you.
He takes the teeth and your first name.
He leaves brass rings.
Yeah. Lindsay, what was your thought? You want to talk about how you felt about this segment?
I do, because I did have feelings. So yeah. I was watching it. I had it on and I wasn't really paying attention because, much like Matt, I could have been doing anything else, like just breathing quietly alone in a dark room. So I wasn't, you know, fully interested in the whole show. And then this started. Whatever this started.
It's just a doll. It's just a doll.
Hate it as much as I should have hated it. And I think partly because it's insane. It's completely insane. I thought Shayna did a really, really convincing job of being afraid of the dolly. When I was little, a man crushed a snake and we were fine with it. So before you go to the internet to say it's the worst thing you've ever seen, I would say examine your feelings and say, is it because it's ladies? Or is it because I'm an adult? Because those are two things. One of those things is a valid issue as to why you might not enjoy it. The other thing, it's not. The other thing makes you a terrible person. I'm trying to examine it through a lens where I think it's good for who it's meant for. Mm-hmm. But obviously undeniably absurd and silly.
I can easily name right now off the top of my head five things that are way worse than that segment.
Oh, at least, right? Yeah. five things that have happened in the last 3 years that were worse than this.
That list, I was thinking in my head, can I name five things? And then it auto-filled, like, immediately. Just, broop, there it is. There are five things way worse.
An Excel sheet of terrible.
An Excel sheet of terrible. Matt, what did you think of that segment? Clearly, you must have seen it if you're watching the...
Oh, yes. Yes, I mean, I didn't love it. But it's not, you know, Lindsay's right. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. Whenever people see like human statues in the street, you know, the people painted gold, and everyone always takes the piss out of human statues. But you put a tiny child in front of them, it's the most magical thing they've ever seen. It's not for us. You know, didn't they do research and find that WWE's audience is like basically me, is like 50-year-old white guys.
It is we later so life people, apparently.
There's the problem.
Yeah.
But allegedly the ratings for this segment were through the roof, right? And I'm not someone who leans into ratings very regularly. I don't know how much they mean in today's world. But the ratings were like massive on this segment, which is
it was some weird, crazy shit. And you know, it's better to have that than to have weird, dull shit.
Truly, truly.
You know?
Danielle, how do you feel about it?
I feel the same way as Lindsay. It was weird. And you guys know how much I love like weird, crazy stuff. I enjoyed when Bray had lightning powers and fire powers and they never like followed up on it. And I enjoyed the bugs in the ring with Randy. Yeah, it's Shayna against a doll with teeth. It's fucking weird. I love fucking weird. Give me more of it.
I think there's a scale for me. And at one end is like the most vanilla regular wrestling program. On the other end is the House of Horrors and the bugs on the ring, which I hated, and everything they did with woke Matt Hardy. But this I think it's fine. I think there's room for this kind of stuff in professional wrestling. And look, it's Shayna's not an actor. She's just not an actor.
I thought she did very well. I thought she acquitted herself very well for someone who is not known for her acting chops.
I know you do, but what she is very, very good at is playing a bully. And for me, watching her do that carried everything else. I don't think she was terrible either. I think, you know, for someone who's not an actor, she did a very good job acting.
I would like to commend whoever was holding the dolly so that the dolly was in the mirror, then not in the mirror, then in the mirror, then not in the mirror. Because even if that was pre-taped, there was still someone's job to move that dolly in time.
I thought the doll was going to get closer every time she looked in the mirror.
Well, that would have required a professional dolly wrangler, pal, and they didn't have
Listen,
that.
They have everything. You see the video packages they put together. They're a $1 billion company. They can't get somebody to hold the doll 3 feet closer.
That's a union job, and I'm afraid it's not available at the current budget that WWE has available.
That's true. They just made a lot of cuts, including
one of the cuts.
The good doll wrangler costs too much, so they're gone. Yeah, it's fine. Let's see where it goes. I think there's an expiration date on this for Alexa. This can't be what she is a year from now, I think, for me personally.
I think what's good about it is they have an easy out because they can just have her have been possessed by Bray, right? At any point, they can just be like, well, she was possessed by the Fiend, and now we did an exorcism. Can't wait for that pay-per-view. The exorcism of Alexa Bliss, like, that's going to be a great time. And then she'll be back to being ordinary Alexa Bliss. And, I mean, might I suggest before we do that, we have an evil Alexa versus good Alexa match? Can I just throw that hat into the ring?
Sure.
Come on. It's
like
right
Superman
there.
3?
Come on.
Only if it's a shot-for-shot remake of the Junkyard Fight from Superman 3.
Okay, noted.
That's the only way
we'll
I'll
pass on
it.
Said note.
We're going to talk about NXT because they have, and if it's been 3 hours, so there's another pay-per-view coming up. But before that, I know you haven't been watching AEW a lot, Matt, but we have a segment here on the show that is the most popular segment. And Julian just sent me the numbers this morning, not only for wrestling podcasts, but just all podcasts in general. So suck on that, Joe Rogan. Lindsay's going to tell us what's going on in that AEW women's division. Lindsay, spill the tea.
Britt Baker's champion, and that's all I know. There was a celebration. Wait, I do know. There was a celebration with cake and some of the roster we don't see very often.
So women
got to be in the ring. Nyla pushed the cake. So I guess it looks like we're getting a Nyla Britt program, which could be fun. Yeah, the main thing I remember about the Britt Baker celebration was she didn't give anyone hamburgers, and she said she was gonna because she's a meanie, which I support. And also... it was nice to see those people in the ring because I haven't seen them in the ring for such a long time.
Well, there you go. That's everything happening. So, Matt, now when you talk to your friends after this and they ask you what's been happening in the AEW women's division, you're locked, loaded, and ready to go.
Like the idea I have friends at this point. If I watched AEW, would that increase or decrease my number of friends?
Well, it might increase them, but it might not be the quality of friend that you were looking for. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'm looking for friends that only liked wrestling in 1993. Because then you would be rich in friends. Rich.
Big fans of the BWO as well. Let's talk about NXT TakeOver happening this Sunday. Matt, you said that NXT is the thing that you're watching consistently. I think all of us have been doing that because they just put out the best weekly wrestling show on television. What are you looking forward to this weekend at the In Your House TakeOver with Todd Pettengill returning to do the pre-show? Very excited about that.
Todd Pettengill. I mean, he doesn't deserve that tone to my voice. He's done nothing to me. But it just... It feels, I mean, you know, we joke about AEW being only interested in it. I just don't like the throwbackness of it. It's, mm-hmm. I don't know, it grates on me. But anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to all of it. The thing about the NXT shows, the reason I think we all watch it is that you're fairly guaranteed it's all going to be good. People are going to go out there and actually try, you know, and do their best. The main event, okay, who's in the main event? The five-man?
Yes, it's Karrion Kross, Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, and Pete Dunne.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're all varying degrees of good to very good. I loved on NXT this week where the main criticism of Karrion Kross was, you're just a big guy. And it was like, well, yeah, that's fair. I cannot with Pete Dunne's skinny jeans.
I have been meaning to take you up on this, Matt. Can you not stage an intervention? You're a well-dressed man.
Thank you.
Can you not have a little chat with him? Are they just attached? Are they actually just part of his body? So when it looks like he's not wearing skinny jeans, he's just put on flesh-colored leggings? Because I can't see how he can possibly get them off at this point.
There's something very... This will make sense probably only to Lindsay. I live in Essex. And Pete Dunne has morphed into the kind of men I see in Essex. These kind of very well-groomed, very muscular men wearing the wrong kind of fashions. You know?
It is turning into the Jersey Shore of England, no. Unfortunately. Yes. It seems to be that direction. You could pretty much pick Pete Dunne up and put him down for some gym tan and laundry and... If he didn't open his mouth, I reckon he'd be fine. He'd fit right in.
Yeah.
What should he be wearing? How would you dress him?
Look, he's an oik, right? He's an oik. He's a scruffy little git. That's what he should look like. He should look like the guy that picks fights outside of pubs that also sleeps in the pub cellar. You know?
Like tracksuit?
Yeah, yes. Yes, exactly so. He should look like a Birmingham weed dealer.
Okay.
Let me just say really clearly, I'm not implying that he is or has at any point been a Birmingham weed dealer.
He's a very healthy vegan. So there we go. That doesn't preclude
weed.
It's vegan. But yeah, when he started out in skinny suits, right? Because he and Trent Seven and Tyler Bate all do the skinny suit, Peaky Blinder type thing.
Yeah.
But it's just gotten progressively skinnier and skinnier and skinnier until I'm absolutely convinced he's not taking them off ever. It's just, it just, between the fake tan, the orange fake tan and the very skinny jeans, his skin needs to breathe. I'll let your skin breathe.
It's true. Yeah.
What else are you looking forward to? Sorry, I cut you off to talk about Pete Dunne's fashion.
So I've got questions about Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight.
Yes.
I am a listener to this fine podcast, and you people seem to like LA Knight. What's that about? What's going on there?
I think he is the best natural promo, like natural on the mic person I've seen since The Rock. And when I say that, there are people who are a better promo than him, like Stone Cold, fantastic promo, Undertaker also a very good promo. But you can tell that they're doing a promo. There is a conviction behind it in a performance. When The Rock spoke, it felt like, especially like now, like take the last 5 years of his career in WWE, it felt so natural that he had created an actual real person, and this is how they spoke, and it never felt like a scripted line or forced in any way. That's what I get off of L.A. Knight.
I'm just not sure he's actually playing a character. I think that might just be him.
And all the better.
I think sometimes I find it grating because I'm like, you would be the worst person to get stuck talking to at a party. But I do respect that he's very good at his job.
Yeah, this is my feeling is, and you're not wrong, Hal. He is very natural. He just seems like his entire character is like B-grade douchebag.
Yes.
And yeah, I know. Yeah. He's like the mean neighborhood dad in a sitcom. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we're meant to like him or not. Like in this feud, who's the face and who's the heel? They both seem just awful.
I think that's an interesting point because they aren't they so polarizing to a lot of, I'm going to use America as an example because I've been stuck here such a long time. I love it. Thank you for having me. To a lot of America, Cameron Grimes is like a hero, and to a lot of America, LA Knight is the aspirational character to be. Like, there's a lot of people who look at LA Knight, right, and they're like, that guy's cool, I'd want to be like that guy. And then to a lot of America, they're like, oh, he's the worst. So I think they've been quite clever in creating characters that can polarize like that without making either of them very clear evil people. Because I know Cameron Grimes, when he was on the indies, he very much played this, not the rich version of him, but he played this same character, but he leaned into being a very comedy heel. Like, he would come in and be this big redneck, but he would make, like, hilarious, she says in inverted commas, jokes about Mexicans in the audience. Like, he'd be like, I see a lot of Mexicans in this audience, and everyone would boo. But that was part of it. That was the point of it. He was being a heel. And I think they've taken some of that more controversial edge off him, but they still kept him with that sort of leaning towards being like, is he, would he be okay? Would he say things at brunch that aren't cool? I'm not sure. And a lot of people like that, unfortunately. And a lot of people see it as a heel character because they've made Cameron very sympathetic despite also making him a GameStop billionaire. It's confusing, but I'm for it.
First, he was the evil representation. Like, all the people willed GameStop to be high-priced and made themselves money, and that we see is a good thing because they're bucking the system. Then he comes in and is the obnoxious version of it. Now it's kind of shifted to where it's, even though he has money, he's still made to feel like he doesn't fit in, which is, that is a very sympathetic babyface thing. Plus now he has everybody chanting to the moon with him. So he has taken the face role. To me, it's pretty clear, but they do both live in that kind of gray area. Danielle, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm just amazed that we're still going with the GameStop to the moon stuff.
It's still happening. AMC, I bought AMC at $12, then sold it at $9 and bought it again. Then I sold it at $14. If I'd only held on, I would be 100 air.
Wow.
I'd be 100 air. Like, it's, that stuff is still it's still in the news. Yeah. So
Cameron's,
it's still
the face to me because I like his suits. I think he's really pulling off that shirtless suit look. That red suit he wore this week, even though it was too big. And if you notice, when he was outside in the parking lot, his pants kept falling down. And when he came back inside, he was wearing a belt. It was adorable.
It's a really interesting card. It's got a lot of fun matches on it. But we want to hear what you think about NXT out there, listeners. If you have any thoughts on all the things we've talked about, it's all fair game. Find us on social media. All those accounts, they're in our show notes. You can find us there. When we come back, it's time to talk about a real man's man, a real king, and a real regal GM. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
From the internationally acclaimed creators of Who Shot Ya comes the movie podcast Maximum Film, starring producer and film festival programmer Drea Clark as a woman bound by passion.
I saw this 8 months ago on the festival circuit, and I loved it.
Film critic Alonzo Duralde as a man corrupted by greed.
Why watch one Hallmark Christmas movie when I can watch 7?
And comedian Ify Wadiwe as a man protecting a love that society simply won't accept.
I think Pacific Rim is a perfect movie. And if you can't accept that, then I want you out of my life.
From the makers of the movie podcast Who Shot Ya comes Maximum Film.
That's right. We changed the name of our show to Maximum Film.
But don't worry. We're still a movie review show that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes.
So tune in to Maximum Film at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2021, it's finally okay to talk about our mental health. And that's why we're excited to be sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions. They'll match you with a therapist in under 48 hours, and it's easy to change therapists if needed. Remember, you don't need a traumatic event to benefit from therapy. Maybe you're feeling anxious or depressed, or your stress feels like it's too much to manage. Get some tools to cope and make life just a little bit easier.
Again, you don't have to be going through some stuff, but I know that definitely therapy helped me a lot during this pandemic, especially for sure. Just having someone to talk to when I was isolated was like super helpful. So I definitely always recommend therapy. I recommend therapy to everybody. Hey, it's someone who has to, if nothing else, it's someone who has to listen to you to talk for an hour about your stuff. And isn't that great? Plus, BetterHelp is way more affordable than in-person therapy, but can be just as effective. So see if it's for you. Tights and Fights listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/tights. That's betterhelp.com/tights.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford.
And
Lindsay Kelk.
And
Matt Ricardo.
Entrance music is one of the most important things a wrestler can have. And sometimes wrestlers have careers that last so long that they get new music for each phase of it. We like to take a look at some of that music in a segment we call Ringtones.
This conversation's over. Play my music.
Hit the music.
Hit the trumpets.
Even though he never won a world title, William Regal is one of the most respected wrestlers in WWE. Before we get into his music over the years, William Regal is one of those rare guys, again, who is able to pull off menacing heel.
And if you want to fight, look no bloody further, because I will quite gladly now go and change into my ring attire, and I will join you back in that ring, and I will battle you with every ounce of violent venom that runs through my veins. Yes.
But also a complete comedy act. Sometimes just back to back in the same segment.
Straight out of Blackpool, I'm William Regal. My rhyme's so intense, they shouldn't be legal. I'll take you down, rung by rung. I'm just like British Parliament. I'm completely hung. Straight up gangster tripping, yes boy.
In addition to being a fantastic wrestler, I think he's... people sleep on him because he never won a world title. He's never really in the main event. He was a European title guy. He was an IC title guy, a tag title guy. Was never a main event guy in WWE. But his work is worth taking a look at. Matt, do you know William Regal personally?
Yeah, we became friends, I guess, about maybe a decade ago now. And when he comes to Britain to do his spoken word shows, I appear on them with him and we do some bits and pieces together.
Oh, well, don't worry. He's not listening. You can say whatever you want.
He's great. He is a genuine gentleman in that he is a gentleman. You know, he is thoughtful and softly spoken. He is funny as fuck. Like, as you say, Hal, he's one of those rare performers who can be goofy and silly and a real clown and then just turn on a dime and be vicious and completely serious and put a chill in you. And that's rare. And I think it's one of those things that people think isn't really possible. You have to be one or the other, perhaps particularly in wrestling. You're a comedy act or you're a serious athlete. And he's proof that, you know, if you're good, then you don't need to choose.
Absolutely. Danielle?
I always, because of kind of when I started watching wrestling, was, you know, like I was later and then kind of like Attitude Era and then kind of in and out. For me, it's always been like that he's, you notice that he was able to kind of bounce between different characters. Of course, I always knew him when he was like the super like Regal. But now when I think of him, I think of him as like really like a statesman of wrestling. Like all the work that he's done with NXT and all of the work that it looks like he's done with like these younger wrestlers and building them up and stuff. And I just think that that's a really cool thing. And I think that he's a great representative of the sport. I say that in quotation marks. So I always think of him as kind of that, like being like wrestle dad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Lindsay?
I'm just delighted that Matt knows him personally to back up the belief that all English people know each other, because that's really going to help me with my life here in America. Thanks, Matt. Do you also know the Queen?
Lindsay, when did you meet William Regal and become friends with him?
I met him and became friends with him at NXT TakeOver. Which one was it? We're not friends. I have met him, though. I interviewed him at one of the TakeOvers at WrestleMania. I want to say Orlando. It was Orlando or Dallas. I can't remember. But I do remember being... I had interviewed Kevin Owens. I had interviewed Finn. I had interviewed Bayley. I interviewed Paul Heyman. I interviewed all these incredible people. And then when they were like, we're bringing you William Regal, I got really unnecessary. I came over super unnecessary and overexcited because I'm like, oh no, I can't. I can't possibly talk to William Regal. Oh, I'm so excited. Because like, same thing. I admire him so much. And I may or may not have suggested on several occasions I would trade my father for him because mine's, you know, and I would take a new one. And that would be my preferred one. We have a photo together. I very rarely do the photo thing. It looks like I just told him I was getting married and he just told me he's so proud of me. It's like my favorite photo. And I almost put it up at the wedding because I'm like, if people ask why my dad's not here, I can be like, oh, he had a show. This is him.
It's on the slideshow.
And they would have believed me because all British people know each other.
Right.
But he was genuinely fantastic. He was so generous. He was so kind. He was one of the nicest people. I would have talked to him all day. And eventually the PR moved him on. Eventually the publicist was like, have you even talked about wrestling? I'm like, we mostly talked about Blackpool. And it was fine. It was totally okay. I love him. I love him and everything he ever does.
Well, that sounds like four positive reviews, so let's jump into his music. We're going to stick with his tenure in WWE, which was sort of broken up. He started as Steven Regal, and this was his first entrance music. Yeah.
Nothing more English than that, right?
There's no better way for Jim Johnston to say a wrestler is walking towards the ring than that music. That's very generic, nothing to do with character.
This is the theme from Walker, Texas Ranger, right?
That's correct. Yes, that's right. It's the only thing they had rights to at the time. Everybody came out to that. And now here's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah, that's just a wet fart of hard rock.
Oh, it's the menu music for multiple wrestling games, I'm sure.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm going to choose the Texas Tornado. Blood on. Then he went through what has become legend. And also, I believe this is the stint that was cut short because of his struggles with alcohol, which he is in recovery now. Which is wonderful. Like, that's another thing is about him personally is that he's overcome a lot and became a better person and a stronger person through recovery. But this was when he was the man's man.
He's a man.
I can't.
I actually played this on my wedding night, I must say.
This is the processional.
If you didn't walk into the church to that, Julian, I would be so disappointed.
I don't know why that such a man gets me.
Such a man.
The best part is, like, everybody has to go watch the vignettes that accompanied that as well. It's just, like, him with
like
a
him
hammer
in the woods.
Just, like, being proud of looking at his hammer.
Yeah. There's something about this music that makes it sound like a Monty Python sketch. Like, just waiting for the turn.
Yeah.
I feel like this is sort of like a... People have kind of a fondness for the real man's man just because it's so ridiculous. Any memory of this at all for anybody? Like when it was happening? Anybody?
Not when it was happening. No. I've seen the vignettes later, and they make me giggle and giggle.
Yeah, it didn't really go anywhere. That was the issue. But later in 2000, he would make his return and have a much longer stint on the roster, this time coming in as a British wrestler. Fun story about this music, if it is the music I think that Julian is going to play, is one of the 2Ks you could download and put in your own entrance music for people. So I made sure that this was William Regal's entrance music because he was in the game, because I think it's so great. And it fit him walking into the ring and wiping his feet and being sort of a proper English gentleman. This is the music.
You get it? He's British.
Yeah. So good, though.
And this is pre-Downton Abbey, so, you know.
Man ahead of his time. I love how Lindsay's doing her makeup right now, and this is absolutely the best music to hear your makeup.
I'm going to run out of time. It really is.
It's a great piece of music. It's just a well-composed piece of music, but also it fit the character so well. I was sad when they changed it. Does everybody remember this when this was his entrance music?
This one I remember, kind of. Like I said, I was kind of in and out at this point. But yeah, I think it's really fitting for the character. It's just so snooty. It feels like Masterpiece Theater. Like it feels like someone's about to be like, you know, now we're going to watch Othello, you know?
Yes.
Well, I just think, why have someone called William Regal and then not lean into it? He's English. He's got Regal in his name. It would take them 4 seconds to connect those dots these days, which, you know, it just seems so obvious. It's right there. It's right there. Get the harpsichord out. Make this happen. Yeah. How often do you get that opportunity? You know, lean in.
If the point of entrance music is to set up the character before they even say anything or hit the ring, this does it perfectly. You want to piss off a wrestling crowd, play them classical music.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Am I making this up, or did he have a tag team with Triple H when Triple H was either Paul Levesque or Hunter Hearst Helmsley?
They tagged together a long time ago.
I can't remember if it was in WCW or something.
They were old friends. I think it was WCW.
Yeah. And this sounds a lot like the Jean-Paul Levesque Triple H music of just like that harpsichord of like,
it's very similar.
Yeah, just like, you know.
Yeah. It's Vince leaning on classism because that's all.
Yeah.
That's basically every, you could boil almost every character down to some form of classism. But from this era, if you've never watched that like 2000 to 2001, his feud with Jericho over the IC title, which led to the match at WrestleMania X7, is probably the most famous. But low key, he had a really fun feud with Al Snow when Al Snow had the European title, and William Regal was the one who took it off of him. And Al Snow's gimmick with the European title is that he was representing all of Europe. So every time he entered, he would have his entrance music from a different. So there would be like a German Oompa version of it. Then there was a Spanish version of it, a Dutch version of it. So he kept coming, and he would be dressed differently each time he defended the title. And then William Regal comes in as, I'm a proper European. It should be me who has this title. It was very well booked and very short feud, but worth looking at. So check that out. He also, after the feud with Jericho, moved on to a tag team with Lance Storm, and this was their music.
Very Evening News vibes.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Julian, that's the theme to Iron Eagle 4. Can you play the entrance music?
This is incidental music from The West Wing to accompany footage of a motorcade.
Yeah, it's definitely got like 1994 Olympics vibes.
The world is watching Nancy Kerrigan as she attempts a comeback from an unspeakable injury at the hands of Jeff Galuli. Will she be able to take home Olympic gold? Find out at the Winter Olympics from Lillehammer, live on NBC.
Good stuff.
Are we missing? I don't know if this is going to be the one that plays next, but he had another one, I feel like, between those. They switched it to that sort of just like the music that lets you know evil is coming.
That's the one that he currently uses?
That's the one he currently uses?
Yes.
Let's hear it. Yep.
That brass section. So good.
Darth Vader vibes.
Yeah.
Yes. I always wish they did more with it. God, just change up the lighting. It's so good. It invites drama.
It's like the musical equivalent of Dad's Home.
Yeah. Specifically, wait until your dad gets home.
Yeah.
Dad's home. Like, I mean, that's you sat in your bedroom, you've heard the front door, and you're like, oh, it's coming down now. It's coming down.
Demands a lead in line of like, we have to get this cleaned up before Dad gets home, and then you hear, he's here.
Eric! Where are you, Eric? I need to talk to you.
Your mother and I are very upset.
It's so good. So good.
It is good. It's really good. I miss that classic music. That classical music is so good. It's so good. I wish he would use it forever. I would pay American dollars for him to use that again. Not a lot. I don't have a huge budget for it. Let me be clear. Probably not enough to make him do it. But yeah,
not
look,
AMC bucks.
I'll give you 3 Dogecoin to switch it. You don't know what that's going to be worth. It could be. You could be a millionaire someday with 3 Dogecoin. Come on, take my offer, WWE. But yeah, he's outside of that initial music, that video game menu music, he's had a decent collection of theme songs. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of song that you wished he had or that you think would be better suited for him than anything that we've heard here?
I just want more harpsichord forever.
Sure.
I would love to see him put on a show tune. I feel like he'd do a great job at carrying a theatrical number.
Oh,
and
the
I'd
greatest
like to see
show,
that.
Man.
Yeah, like he could be. No. This is the greatest show. Let's have him do it. I think he'd be really good.
Oh, I think he'd love that.
Oh, let's make it happen. Just one musical. I mean, you've done everything WWE. Can I have my musical episode, please? Like, we're past season 6. I should be allowed my musical episode. I'm allowed my throwaway musical. I demand that we have it. I think he'd be excellent, and I would enjoy it. Part panto, part theatrical, full extravaganza, but definitely with Regal singing all of his lines.
You heard it here first. Make it happen, WWE. We're due. We're owed. What do you think about William Regal and his music? Let us know on all of our social media networks via the links in our show notes. Please, please, I'm begging. When we come back, we've got 3 things from the world of wrestling plus 1 that you should know about. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Strange planets, curious technology, and a fantastic vision of the distant future. Featuring Martin Starr.
So we're going on day 14. Shuttle still hasn't come.
Aparna Nancherla.
The security system provides you with emotional security. You do the rest.
Echo Kellum.
Can you disconnect me or not?
Hari Kondabolu.
I'm staying.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Jeffrey McGiver.
Could you play Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
It's The Outer Reach. Stories from beyond.
Now available for free at MaximumFun.org or anywhere you listen.
Hey guys, your friendly neighborhood podcast producer Julian here. Just letting you know a quick editing note that we had with this episode towards the end here. You'll hear that Matt's audio kind of sounds a little bit off. That's because his the tail end of his local recording got a little corrupted. So we just used the Zoom audio for it. But other than that, you're going to hear the end of the episode without any other major surprises. So hope you guys enjoy it.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk
and
Matt Ricardo.
This week, we are ending the show by sharing some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is the 3 count. 1, 2, 3. Matt, you are our guest. Please lead us off.
Okie dokie. Well, since we were talking about Regal, I thought I would put over his 2013 promo ahead of his NXT match with the gentleman that was then called Antonio Cesaro. It's not his last match, but it's nearly his last match. It's his last big televised match. Having rewatched it, it's my favorite promo. It's perfect. Apart from the fact that it's not a promo where he's saying, I can beat you. The whole point of the promo is, you're better than me. I'm almost certainly going to lose, which is amazing. An amazing angle to come at this from. But it's got 2 moments in it which just, they just punch me in the heart. There's a quite early on, he says, I'm a vicious, sadistic and spiteful fighter. And then a little smile just creeps across his face. And he says, I've been a unique entertainer. And I love that. And then my favorite is, the only chance I've got of surviving, let alone winning, is a miracle. And that's not coming to a faithless old villain like myself. I mean, that is poetic, isn't it? That's amazing.
So good. Wow. So good.
I've always been a second-to-none world-class technical wrestler. That was until Antonio Cesaro came along. Because I know, even on my best day, he's 10 times the man and the wrestler that I've ever been. And he knows that. And that's what this is really all about.
Oh, so good. I love it so
much.
Yeah. So great.
I mean, the guy got like a 15-minute match out of Bill Goldberg back in the day. So, I mean, you know William Regal had the chops to say all that.
Oh, so good. Again, like natural, telling the truth. It is not easy. One of the hardest things to do on a camera is be yourself.
Yeah,
it is easier to be like a crazy, silly character because I don't have to expose who I am at all or talk about who I am. But to be yourself on camera and be natural is one of the hardest things to do. And he can do it all. Whew. I need a second. Danielle?
Okay, so turning completely 180, I'm putting over my own bad taste. I was obsessed, and this is like only tangentially, I don't, that's not how you pronounce that word, related to wrestling, because I say it is. We all know that I like my combat sports fake. Well, I watched real combat sports because I watched the Logan Paul Mayweather fight. Oh. I didn't pay for it.
I wanted more for you out of life, Danielle.
Yeah. So disappointed.
Danielle, are you all right?
I watched it because it was wrestling. Like, it was, they hyped it up by having, like, his brother stole Mayweather's hat. And, like, it was so dumb. And the fun part for me was watching people say, like, this is ruining boxing forever, and this is awful, and this is going to ruin boxing. It's like, no, it's not. It's an exhibition match, and it's stupid. And Floyd didn't knock him out, and it went, like, whatever. It went, like, the full 8 rounds, and then everybody was disappointed because they didn't get to see Logan Paul knocked out and punched in the face, even though that was never going to happen. I don't know why, but I was obsessed with it, and I think it was because the buildup was total wrestling. I don't know that I would watch another one of these, but
guess what? There will be one because it's wrestling. The reason they didn't knock him out, the reason it went 8 rounds is because there's going to be another one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or he's going to go against the brother or something else. But I fully admit I am part of the problem. This is me admitting that I am part of the problem. But I am putting over the wrestlification of exhibition boxing matches. It won't be the same for the real ones, but I won't watch the real ones. I will continue to watch these meme matches because they are fucking hilarious. So, yeah, Danielle Radford, bad taste, part of the problem.
Lindsay?
Oh, we can't. Oh, hear
I
you.
Thought Hal just had a stroke. I know, or something.
Like, Hal's just literally gobsmacked.
I just, I'm left speechless. I just, like, I, attention is what makes that monster grow.
So I understand.
We took the tension away, and we all said, we don't care about either of you. You're bad people on a fundamental level.
Yes, this is true.
I'm just exhausted. I'm just tired. It's been, Lindsay, what do you have to put over?
I had something else, but now I want to put over that match because it's just elicited such an emotional response for you, Al. But what I would like to put over is there was a New Japan show this week that was very good. Dominion happened. And I encourage you to go watch it because it's good wrestles. Particularly the last two matches, we had a vacant heavyweight championship. The IWGP heavyweight championship is vacant since Will Ospreay just left. And depending on who you listen to on the internets, either he is truly injured and had to come home and rehab, or he took his ball and went home because New Japan were like, oh, but like quarantining and injuries and we have to figure all this out and you can't keep going back and forth. And he left. So we don't know. But we do know he vacated the most prestigious and important championship he's ever had, which is a huge deal. And we don't know what his status is with the company, to the best of my knowledge, currently. So we had a vacant championship. So we had Okada versus Takagi, Shingo Takagi. So thinking of Darren for that one, because Shingo is his guy. I'm not going to spoil it for you, because you should definitely go watch. It was a great match. And also the match before that was Ibushi, Jeff Cobb, and my Elven Prince did not let me down. It was a fantastic, fantastic match. So even if you just watched those last two matches, they were really good, well worth your time, super fun, and great to see New Japan back because they were on another COVID-related hiatus recently because they take things seriously and they are keeping people safe. So it was good to see them back, good to see it happening, and definitely worth your time.
I'm going to put over something very special and personal to me with a little bit of a backstory first. I promise I will keep this brief. For the last several seasons, the Philadelphia 76ers have started a tradition where somebody rings a miniature Liberty Bell before they announce the starting lineups. And it's meant to symbolize the spirit of Philadelphia. And they have different celebrities come out and do it. So it's a big deal to see who's going to, you know, Will Smith has done it. Meek Mill has done it twice. Famously, the day he was released from jail, he was at the game ringing the bell. And that was a game the Sixers were never going to lose. But if you are following the things I've been putting over in the show, you know that our center, Joel the Process Embiid, has started a celebration after an and-one bucket where he does the DX crotch chop. And when interviewed about it, he said, Triple H and Shawn Michaels are my favorite wrestlers, and it's a tribute to them. Then Triple H starts rooting for the Sixers on social media. So last Sunday, as the Eastern Conference semifinals kicked off in Philadelphia, instead of the normal, just the spirit of Philadelphia, the bell symbolizes the spirit of Philadelphia, all of a sudden you hear, are you ready? Out comes Joel Embiid in a DX t-shirt with Triple H in his DX t-shirt. And instead of using the small handheld hammer to hit the bell, he gets a full-size sledgehammer to hit it. And it is pure, like, wrestling plus just two things that I love, wrestling and my 76ers. Yes, they didn't win that game, but they did come back and win on Wednesday. And just that moment was so, it just felt like one of those things like, oh, maybe this is a team of destiny because all of these things are happening, like Triple H coming to ring the bell. These things are manifesting and coming true, including Triple H doing the crotch chop on Joel Embiid. Just wonderful. And here is a clip of that.
WWE Executive Vice President of Global Strategy and Development, 14-time WWE Champion and founding member of DX, Paul Triple H LaVey!
That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Daniel Radford, Lindsay Kelk, and me, Hal Loveland. Matt Ricardo, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for coming back.
My absolute pleasure.
Please, will you tell everybody what you want them to go look at or follow or buy or anything? That the mic is yours.
Well, you can buy what you like. I'm not your mum.
Okay.
Obviously, follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Matt Ricardo, 1T in Matt. Because of the pandemic and all my live work going, I have been focusing mostly on making things for YouTube. So I would love you forever if you'd go to my YouTube channel and subscribe and hopefully enjoy the videos. Thank you so much.
Yes, and you can find links to all of that in our show. We will link you there, make it easy for you. You don't even have to go search it out. We deliver Matt directly to your door. That is the Tights and Fights promise. If you are listening to this and it is early in the day on June 12th, why not come see the Thrilling Adventure Hour show and tell show? You can get tickets to that at houseseats.live, and access will be available after the live show. But it is me and the other Work Juice players showing embarrassing early clips from our career and just dicking around and having a wonderful time. You can still get access to the latest Night Vale live show. Go to welcometonightvale.com for information on that. It is available until June 15th. And you can follow me everywhere at Hal Loveland. Danielle?
Yeah, you can follow me at Twitter at Danielle Radford, on Instagram at Danielle_Radford. Watch the Honest trailers. I help write them, and I think that they are pretty funny. So if you want to support, that is a good way that you can show some support. Okay, bye. I love you.
Lindsay?
I've got books. You can read my books. And you can find me on social media at Lindsay Kelk. And we can talk about those books or wrestling. I'm wide open. Whatever you'd like.
Our producer is the flat top, big back, body drop, Julian Burrell. and has a special thing to share. Julian, what's all this nonsense?
Okay, so Logan Paul was wearing... No, I'm just kidding.
Motherfucker, mute. You forever. You
Hal
forever.
Hal just imploded. Hal's body just dissolved into a blob on the floor.
No, transformed into Willie Loman, just beaten down by life.
So you guys can go listen to the other show that I work on, Go Fact Yourself. This week, it has a very, very cool guest who our fans might know, one Mr. Colt Cabana. He doesn't talk a ton about wrestling except for at the very beginning, but he is such an entertaining and charming guy. You're going to love his topic and his expert. It was actually a lot of fun to put together. So go listen to that if you want some more podcasting to listen to this week.
Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those are in our show notes. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fund members who make this show possible. And hey, it's summer. That means it's t-shirt season. Sun's out, guns out. Go get the Tights and Fights t-shirt. It is available and it's waiting to live on your back. We'll be back next week for even more. You guessed it. Wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
I'm totally going to text him about the musical episode.
Oh. I just really need to see it.
I want to know which one was his favorite.
I'll ask him.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Say which is your favorite and why is it the classical music?
I want to see him as P.T. Barnum. And like, I could see him in that role of like, ladies and gents, this is the moment you've been waiting for. And then all the NXT people behind him just like.
I mean, they're so close to it. They're so close to a musical already. Yeah. So like, just make it happen.
With existing
songs. Wrestling is basically circus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just do it.
Is it going to be like a tag team breaks up and then one of them sings On My Own from
Oh, yeah. I would pay 4 Dogecoin. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mortgage your future.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.